Hello and welcome to Press TV's debate. I'm Mercy Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, Iran shot down a sophisticated and expensive American drone over its airspace. First, there was a lot of hullabaloo coming out of the United States and then various American explanations trying to offer details on how the downing happened. Even the U.S. president and vice president have both said that the downing happened when someone of a lower rank ordered the drone to be shot down. The question is why? And why did Washington violate Iran's airspace to begin with?
Tensions remain high between Tehran and Washington following the Thursday downing of a U.S. spy drone over Iranian southern waters. Iran says it shut down the aircraft after it violated its airspace despite repeated warnings. Following the incident, Iran handed a protest note to the United Nations. It said the Iranian air defense system acted under Article 51 of the U.N. Charter to target the intruding American drone. On Sunday, President Hassan Rouhani called on the international community to show proper reaction to the U.S. violation of Iranian airspace. He also said the violation is the start of new tensions in the Middle East. The Iranian president blamed most of global problems on what he called the U.S. unilateralism and violation of international regulations. The U.S. says its drone was flying over international waters when it was targeted. In response to the downing of the aircraft, U.S. President Donald Trump ordered strikes on Iranian targets, but called them off later.
And I thought about it for a second. I said, you know what? They shot down an unmanned drone, plane, whatever you want to call it. And here we are sitting with 150 dead people. That would have taken place probably within a half an hour after I said go ahead.
Yeah.
And I didn't like it. I didn't think it was proportionate.
Some analysts have disputed Trump's reason for calling off the strikes.
What I think is going on here is that Trump is actually just winging it and is being perhaps very careful about where he goes, because anything he does right now will certainly reflect upon the next election, which he has previously announced that he will be trying to continue his reign as president.
The U.S. president has adopted a flip-flop policy over Iran. In a Sunday interview with NBC News Channel, Trump said he's not seeking war with Tehran. That's while he raised the possibility of military action a day earlier.
It's always on the table until we get this solved. Yeah. We have a tremendously powerful military force in that area. It's always on the table until we get this solved. Thank you.
Iranian military officials warned that any conflict in the Persian Gulf region may spread uncontrollably. They say Iran is not after a military confrontation with the U.S., but will not hesitate to defend itself against any aggression.
I'd like to welcome my guest to the program, Daniel Kovalik, a human rights lawyer out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and Frederick Peterson, senior U.S. congressional defense advisor out of Richmond, Virginia. Thank you both for being with us. Well, let's start this off with Frederick. Why do you think we're seeing these mixed signals coming out of Washington regarding the knocking down of this drone?
I think it is precisely what the president has said. And we are dealing with not the typical politician, not the typical national leader here. We're dealing with someone from the outside community. And it is the outsiderness of Donald Trump that so endears him to so many of the American people and many people around the world, actually, that find it quite refreshing for a leader to be able to pause in the middle of what would have been a rather drastic military response, not nearly as drastic as it could have been, but a response that would have resulted in the loss of death, more than 150 Iranians that would not be here to hear your broadcast today. And yet they are here because Donald Trump stepped back, considered options, and decided one more time to offer to put on the table a deal, which he is famous for. The Art of the Deal was his book, and those who wish to understand the mind of Donald Trump would do well to read it and see the flexibility of this man. The objective is to arrive at a peaceful solution, not to impose a military solution upon Iraq or, upon anyone else.
So if that's the case, Frederick, and if it's from this great humanitarian perspective that you're talking about, why is the drone here to begin with? Why was the drone flying over Iranian territory?
This was, there are many, a drone is simply an unmanned aerial vehicle, okay? And it is unmanned.
And can be lethal. We know that they can be lethal. It's not as if, they definitely can be.
That's precisely the point we're getting to. That there can be unmanned aerial vehicles, drones, that can be used in an attack mode or that can be used in a surveillance mode. This drone was not in an attack mode whatsoever. It was in a surveillance mode in order to ensure that the truth of the situation would be known by both sides. It was gathering information to inform so that a decision could be made based on the truth the ground.
So if that's the case, Frederick, if that's the case, sorry to interrupt you. So American officials, or for example, yourself as an American, you would be okay if the Iranians that flew a drone over American territory because they just want to get the correct information, would that be okay with you? Or would it be okay with American officials?
Well, actually, it wasn't over Iranian territory.
According to Washington, of course, the Iranians say something else. And of course, the debris from the drone has been found in Iranian waters. And also, we know that the threats had continually been getting even more and more aggressive. So one would think it's pretty likely either that the United States wanted to threaten Iran. Most people would say actually flying over Iranian territory or close enough to get a reaction. So your take on that, if the roles were reversed, what would the United States have done?
Well, actually, roles are reversed all the time because we have, there are satellites orbiting the Earth right now that gather information from inside the territorial boundaries of other nations. This is done by Russians, by China, by the United States. It is done routinely. And we could look at the flip side of this.
When we're talking about satellites, those satellites are also looking down on Iran. So we understand the satellites. Those satellites are not sending missiles. Those satellites haven't killed people, as far as I know. But drones have, and American drones have. So I want to look at this seriously, fairly, Frederick. Honestly, tell me, how would the United States respond if the Iranians flew a drone in their territory, over the territory?
Over the United States?
Yes.
I would highly recommend against that.
Okay, so they would shoot it down for sure.
A decisive, definitive response.
Okay.
I would say that would be very regrettable by those who sent the drone.
Okay, so fair enough. So the United States is a sovereign country and would definitely protect its territory. That's what you're telling me.
I'm saying that the drone that was sent was not over the territory of Iran.
That's according to you. But there are many sources that say the opposite. Let me ask you something else then. How would the Americans respond if an Iranian drone was close to American territory, right off the Atlantic coast, right off the Pacific coast? How would Americans react to that, Frederick?
I think likely there would be interference with the mission of this, perhaps, by electronic means, by warnings, just so that this particular drone, as you call it, or UAV or whatever, this aircraft would not intrude upon the territorial boundaries of the United States.
Exactly, and if it took it, they would shoot it down.
If they needed to,
would the Americans not shoot it down, Frederick?
If it was an international airspace, no.
Oh, okay. All right, let me get our next guest in on this conversation, Daniel Kovalik, human rights lawyer out of Pittsburgh. Thanks so much for joining us. Sorry, viewers, about the delay. There were some technical problems. Now, Daniel, tell me about international law regarding the sovereignty of a country's airspace and the right to defend it.
Yeah, well, certainly under the law of the sea, you're not allowed to send military aircraft into someone else's territory without their consent. And if you don't have their consent, certainly that country, in this case Iran, who claims the drone flew into their territory, has a right to defend itself and shoot it down, especially in this case where it was unmanned, so there was no risk of life being lost. And frankly, and you asked the other guest this, and I'll just jump to it. I mean, even if it's in international waters, but very close to the waters of that other territory, in this case, Iran, you know, it's understandable that Iran reacted the way it did. It didn't know what kind of drone this was, whether it was a drone simply for surveillance, or whether it was a drone that could actually carry out an attack. And let's face it, the U.S. has been threatening to attack Iran for some time now. So they reasonably believe this could be something attacking them. And so they blew it out of the sky. And you know, I think people have to be reminded that the U.S. Yes, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Dan. Go ahead.
Well, the U.S. has sent thousands of troops to the Persian Gulf, has sent military ships to the Persian Gulf. Again, this is not U.S. territory. This is not a region of the United States. This is someone else's backyard. This is someone else's region. Has threatened that country with war, has sanctioned that country, has embargoed that country's oil, is intentionally wrecking its economy, and then it claims it's a victim when that country tries to defend itself. It's just absurd. The U.S. has made it clear it wants a war. It's made it clear several times it wants to find any pretext to start that war. It tries to set up the situation where there is such a pretext. And then when that situation occurs, it cries foul. I mean, it's just, frankly, absurd. And that's why no one's buying it, by the way. No one is buying this. None of the U.S.'s allies, for the most part, are buying this. The U.S. is going to have a tough case to make that it has any right to attack Iran.
Well, let's talk about that. Any right to attack Iran, Frederick. At the same time of that drone, we also know that an American spy plane with over 30 people, 30 Americans, was flying over Iranian territory also. And Iran did not shoot that plane down because of the loss of life. Your perspective on that side of things, Frederick, it appears that Iran is definitely being very fair, as they said, and on a defensive mode, but not offensive, even though it was their right, actually, to, again, defend its territory.
Well, just one moment and a response as a genuflection to truth. Your other guest's characterization of this is entirely at odds with the facts that have been presented by the United States. And he is in the United States now, which is quite curious, because he is taking word for word, position for position, the anti-position of the United States. And
so, and as an American, and as an American, he doesn't have. Sorry, Frederick. As an American, he doesn't have that right to have his own perspective because he's in the United States. Okay.
Yes, he certainly does. We're just observing that he is putting a great big smiley on a plate of spoiled sausage here, and this is very interesting to observe. However, getting back to your larger issue, does a nation have a right, that being Iran, the United States, or any other nation in the world, have a right to defend itself or to defend its territory or its interests against undue imposition by any other nation that chooses to impose it? And the short answer is yes. quite right. We agree on this. Nations do have a right to do that. And the reason why this mission, this unmanned aerial vehicle, this UAV, this drone was flying on this mission in international waters, over international waters, outside the territory of Iran, was to ensure we knew the truth of what was actually going on the ground, so that our response to what that vehicle produced in intelligence would be proportionate to the threat.
Okay.
This is a good thing. Iran and Iranians that are looking for truth should actually welcome this.
I'm sure, Frederick, sure.
They are doing,
well,
this
again, I'm sure Iranians, would like to have a lot more information about the United States and make sure the United States is doing what they say they do. And perhaps they can fly a drone near American territory and see, we'll see what happens. But you didn't answer, you did not answer the question that I asked you. So I'll throw it to Daniel. Now, Daniel, what about the side of things that accompanying that drone was a spy plane, a manned spy plane with over 30 people, 30 Americans on board, that the Iranians chose not to shoot down, which they definitely could have because, again, it was infringing on its sovereign territory, but chose not to shoot that down, but the drone, the unmanned drone. First of all, doesn't that say a lot about Iran? And basically what Iran always says, that they are ready to defend the territory at whatever cost, and actually not even shooting it down when it could have because of the loss of life.
Yeah, well, again, I think the Iranians have shown an amazing amount of restraint in this situation, not just in terms of refusing to shoot down that manned drone, but by frankly restraining itself in other ways, given the fact that the U.S., let's face it, is currently at war with Iran. These economic sanctions are killing people in Iran. The U.S. has been supporting the MEK terrorists that have killed 17,000 people in Iran. Iran has not retaliated in kind. Instead, after 9/11, we have to remember, Iran offered to help the U.S. with the war on terror and actually gave help in Afghanistan, gave help arresting al-Qaeda operatives. And then the U.S. thanked Iran by naming it as part of some imaginary axis of evil. Again, it is the U.S. that is the aggressor here. You know, Jimmy Carter recently told Donald Trump that the U.S. is the most warlike nation that has ever existed. And frankly, every day the U.S. proves that to be a fact. We have gone from one disastrous war to another. The U.S. clearly is trying to gin up another one in Iran. And frankly, it's up to the American people to say, we don't want this anymore. Enough is enough.
What about that, Frederick? Does the administration in Washington want another war?
I would say that last rendition was one big laugh line, if it wasn't so appalling, coming from someone who certainly should know better. And if he actually did research and earn that JD that he has, would know better. The facts speak eloquently and voluminously in contrary to what was just presented. The United States has been, and will be, under this president, as in under other presidents, a force for good, a force for truth, a force for prosperity and self-determination of peoples around the world, standing up against terror, against evil, and we look for allies in this. And those that come and join and become allies will become prosperous, will become brothers and sisters in a search for a higher value. It's a very good thing.
We're almost out of time, but I can say very beautiful the way you've described it. But seems very far from the truth, unfortunately. Daniel, your take on all of this, what is it going to take, actually? Because we haven't seen much from the international, so-called international community, or the United Nations condemning this or coming down on Washington for their aggressive acts. What is it going to take for the situation not to escalate?
I think the UN, the Security Council, need to take a position, make it clear that the U.S. is the aggressor here, that if there's going to be peace, it's the U.S. that has to go back and agree again to the nuclear deal that Iran was following. It needs to end the unilateral sanctions against Iran, which are illegal under international law. And it has to deal with the U.N. as a country, an equal country on equal footing, as the UN Charter requires. And the US does not understand that basic tenet of international law, that all nations are equal, and that the US is not somehow more equal than other nations.
And on that note, I appreciate both of you being with me for this debate. Daniel Kovalik, human rights lawyer out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and Frederick Peterson, senior US congressional defense advisor out of Richmond, Virginia. And as always, viewers, we appreciate you being with us on another debate. I'm Marzia Hashimi, signing out for myself and all the crew right here in Tehran. Hope to see you next time.